you listen and let the peace come to you. Let your ears and your hearts and souls hear these words. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I love Christmas. I hope you do too. I guess you wouldn't be here at a Christmas Eve service at 11 o'clock if you really didn't love Christmas. So maybe you're curious, what's this all about? But we have to revisit, why do we love Christmas so much? Now, I'm someone that loves all the lights and all the cookies. In fact, the Quayleys brought by some really good cookies. I thought they were Ashley's. I thought she had made them, given her all the praise, and she said, "No, they're the Quayleys." Then she pointed to the gluten-free cookies that she had baked that were, let's just say, hard as a rock. But she's trying. She loves baking. She loves making things happen. But I was holding one in my hand, and it literally just exploded. Shaw saw that. But anyway, and I love that. And you should see the Parsons just beautifully decorated. Nancy has these old crazy Santas all along the mantle that if you walk into the living room, they just like turn and follow you wherever you go. Vintage Santas. She can't buy any more, though. She's got like 200? No, I'm kidding. But anyways, I love just the whole secular Christmas. I even met someone, I mean, not the cookies, the cake and all that stuff. I met someone this week that said that they love fruitcake. And I said, "You're the one. That's why they make these things. Wow." And obviously, when you were young, I know you were excited about what was underneath the tree. And you know, I remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You remember those? My brother and I. He always won. That was the bad thing. I think mine was broken. The head just kept coming up. And do you know, I saw that you could buy this at Walmart, believe it or not. They were selling Red Ryder Carbine Action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock. You know what movie that's from. Christmas Story. You'll put your eye out. But I actually went online and I typed in what were the most popular gifts, toys that parents bought their kids. And our kids are a little too old. And I read this. I'm like, I don't know any of these. You tell me if you know these. Hatchimals, Spin Master, Secret Scene Playset, and Collectibles. Poopsie Slime Surprise Unicorn. Rainbow Bright Star or Oopsie Starlight. I love this one. Scruffaloves. Another creative radical reveal toy is the Scruffalove, a heartbreakingly cute rescue pet that begins as a matted ball of fur. Once you wash, dry, and comb it, the surprise is revealed, whether it's a dog, cat, or bunny. We're like, we got four Scruffaloves at the house already. All these, eight, they're all rescue animals. And you know what they are, you don't have to do all that. But I want us to know that it's okay to love all that stuff about Christmas. Amen? But what I love about Christmas is the birth of our Savior Jesus. Amen? The grace that you get to experience when you believe what the angels said. You know, a little girl at one of the early services tonight, the mother said, go ahead, you can ask him, it's okay. Somebody at school said that angels weren't real, that they don't exist. And she wanted to ask me, Mr. Expert. I said, yeah, they exist. Angel means messenger. And you're here to hear the message of Christmas. And the angels say, we bring you good news of a great joy. In the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. And I just think that's so beautiful that a little girl could hear just good news of Christmas. Amen? And you never get tired of the simple message that you are loved and you're not alone. Do you ever tire of hearing someone say, I love you, and you really trust and believe that they love? Some people hold back those three words, right? Well, they know I love them. They know. Say it. I know there's someone here that probably hasn't heard I love you in like 10 years. And they say, well, I heard it 10 years ago, so I'm good. You know, this week I said I love you to somebody in church, and they did like a double take. What? Some people I say it to them. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But some people I say it to, and you can just tell it just shocks them. Like, what? That's kind of too vulnerable. That's too intimate. But we're here to hear the simple message that God loves you and you're not alone. You know what? If you have your smart media devices, can you pull them out? And don't tell me you don't have one. Maybe you don't. If you don't have one, you didn't bring one, bless you. You're amazing. You're one of my heroes. I hope you've silenced them, but I want you to, we've done this in church before, but never at Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock. I want you to text someone right now. Open up your text app. And I'm going to be texting my brother, Shaw. In fact, in all three services, I tried to text him. Only at one time I texted my son, Shaw, by mistake. And what we want to text tonight, because we're receiving this message, we want to give this message. Like the shepherds heard it, and they said, let's go tell of what we've seen. We want to say, I love you. God loves you. Merry Christmas. That's it. Would you do that? Pick someone that you never would ever tell this to, or you'll just blow their minds that they're asleep probably right now, and you're going to text them. But pick someone. You can do more than one. If you don't have your phone, you can do the old-fashioned, and don't do it to the person right next to you right here. I just heard that. Good timing on that. Wow. Because it's easy to do it to someone who's right there next to you. So I'm typing in. Took me a while to get this before, because I kept typing I live, and so what we want to do, I love you. I'm sure there's a shorter way. God loves you. Merry Christmas. Ding dong. Amen. My brother is recovering from a terrible fall off her roof, my mother's roof, and he's all broken and he's a miracle that he's alive, but he's really struggling, and he needs to hear this. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Send it. You've already sent most of yours already. But I just tell you to do that, because so often we hold back, and it's simple, and we try to make it complex, and I've often said our faith, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's what I want you to take home tonight. In fact, last week at our book study, our Advent book study, someone said that their faith is like Occam's razor or Occam's razor. William of Ockham was a 14th century Franciscan friar who studied logic, and he was the one that came up with the principle that's very well known, Occam's razor or Occam's razor, which is the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. And the razor part is, if you follow this, the principle cuts away or slices and leaves aside a host of potentially competing conclusions or arguments, leaving the simplest and most likely conclusion in place. Thus the razor, you're cutting away. And as I get older, don't you like simpler things? Don't you want to just hear a clear message? Tonight, Christmas, the Christmas message is clear and simple. It's like Occam's razor, cutting away all the other complicated things in life that you just need to take into your heart tonight, that you're loved and you're not alone. Amen? Don't you hear an amen? We're going to have communion in a little bit, but I do want to tell a story. Some of you have already heard about it, and I'll try to just embellish the story a little bit. When I was about 7 years old, and I was a preacher's kid, preacher's kids are pretty notorious to get in trouble, but in the garage, I saw this can, not a small can, not a quart can, a gallon can of red paint. And I said, I'm playing with that red paint. And I got the red paint down, and I popped the top off, and I found a piece of wood, and I just started to swirl in that can of red paint. When I was 7 years old, red paint was my favorite color. I mean, red was my favorite color. Now I don't think it is, but back then it was just swirling around. And then my father showed up and came and said, John, what are you doing? Stop playing with that can of red paint. You're going to make a mess. I'm like, okay. And he walked away, and I'm like, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. I'll be careful. I can still play with this. I can handle this. Not a problem. And I started lifting it up, and it was old paint, so it started. I remember just how beautiful it was, just gloopy and droppy. And then I would take it and swirl, and oh, it's making a different color red. That's so, I mean, if I do it really fast, maybe it really, it spills all over the garage floor. And I go, oh my God, I got to clean this up before anybody sees this. And so I see some old rags, and I see, I don't know why I thought old newspapers would help, but I take some old newspapers, old rags, and I start just say, I can do this. I can clean this up. This is no problem. Before Dad gets back, not a problem. And you know, at 7 years old, you're just spreading all that red paint everywhere, all around, all over myself. And as I'm spreading it, making it worse, I see my dad's shoes. And I look up, and he's staring at me, and he goes, did I not tell you to not play with that can of red paint? Did you play with that can of red paint? I'm like, no. And I remember distinctly this happening when I saw his disappointed face, and I was trying to just pretend nothing happened. I wasn't playing with it covered in red paint. And I just looked up, and I said, no. And I just remember crying and wondering, well, how is he going to respond to this? And I really let the tears come, and I stepped towards him, and he made the decision as a loving dad to just take me and just hug me and let me cry on his shoulder. And it really, at that moment, I learned that there was nothing that I could do that ever could take away my father's love. No matter what mess that I could get into, what mistake, no matter what I disobeyed him, whatever it might be, I knew he was going to love me unconditionally, that he was a grace-filled father. And that's what our Heavenly Father is when we think about the mess that the manger was. Mary and no woman would ever want to give birth in a barn. I mean, a manger is an elevated cow trough so the cow could eat and the rats couldn't get up into where the food was. And there were smelly animals there, and there was hay, and it was not a good place to have a baby. And it made me think about the mess of our lives. Like, each one of us right now is parts of our life that we're just ashamed of, and we feel that guilt. We just don't think that we're worthy of God coming to us. God coming to us as a little one, vulnerable, as a little baby in a manger, is saying, I'm willing to go anywhere at any time to meet you right where you are to tell you that I love you and I'm willing to be with you through this mess. at the parsonage, because we have four cats and four dogs, there's always some mess somewhere, right, Nancy? And in fact, we have two dogs that love to eat the kitty litter. And they come into the room and they have kitty litter on the nose. We're trying to have a little gate where the kitty box is. And they still get in there and they come in, they have the kitty litter on their nose and their tails are wagging. And we like, did you just have a crunchy Tootsie Roll? And I'm like, manger scene for sure. How imperfect we are in our families with one another. And just as this scene, when we think of the manger, that Jesus is coming to us in our brokenness. And it's so important for us tonight to hear this message and to trust that God is calling us to be more vulnerable in our lives. When you're at 11 p.m. service and it's 11:45, you end up being a little bit more vulnerable because you're just so tired. You're like, I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to trust your grace, God, tonight because I'm so tired and my defenses are down. You know, someone shared with me the TED Talk. Brene Brown, I think her name is, and the TED Talk was the power of vulnerability, that anything good that you really, your heart really wants or desires only happens when you allow yourselves to be vulnerable. And that's Holy Communion, when you actually confess your sin and you trust in God's saving grace and you receive. I don't want to be like the innkeeper. God's knocking on the sole of your door. You got to let him in. You have to make that decision like the shepherds to step towards Bethlehem. After hearing the angels, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that they've told us about. So I want you to turn to page 13 in your hymn books, and we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. We're going to confess our sins, and we're going to believe that God has given us a Savior. Page 13 in our hymn books. I want you to remember this Christmas Eve. Wasn't it beautiful that, didn't you see some snowflakes fall today? Just enough for effect. No shoveling involved. No slipping and sliding. Well, God wanted to just bless us with this evening. I'm so happy that you are here to receive Holy Communion. As a manger received the Christ child, your heart is the manger that needs to receive God's grace. Let's begin with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God on this Christmas Eve, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Do you know, it was 50 years ago tonight that Apollo 8, these astronauts that were orbiting the moon 20 times, they looked out the window, and the first time ever they saw the Earth rising. Not the sun rising, but the Earth rising. And they took a picture, that famous picture, and they read Genesis 1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And they said that message, that beamed down from space to the world, a billion people heard that. A billion people. If you remember 1968, that was a difficult, difficult year for the world, but especially America. They said that just brought people together. That was the Christmas message 50 years ago this evening. You should read about that. It was like a blessing, and it changed people. So I want you to think about almost like Google Earth, all the way down to Israel, to the Holy Land, to Bethlehem, all the way to the manger, to a little baby. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we have an open communion, and we'll be using gluten-free bread and grape juice, not wine. But everybody is welcome to come forward. And I'm going to let the Taylor kids work. How about that? We could have Shaw and Ashley. Only four of you, and there's five. I only need four. So who doesn't want to do it? Ethan's like, more like that. Ashley and Stephanie and Shaw and Max. Ethan, thank you for going like that. All right, Max and Shaw, come on up. Ashley and Stephanie. They will be serving communion, and you'll be coming to the sides of the church and coming up front, taking a piece of the bread and dipping it in the cup. And come and receive forgiveness of your sins. Table's been prepared, the feast is before you receive.